Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And tonight, we're going to have an eclectic stream as we look at a movie that I'd only heard of today.
You heard of it last week when I told you about
it. No, I know, but that went immediately out of my head. So it felt like I only found out about this movie's existence today. And then we're going to take a brief look back at what an important genre, like, milestone meant to the both of us on its 20th anniversary.
Yes.
So that should be a lot of fun. But before we get there, random crap.
Oh, we're starting with a video game, as
we
usual.
As per usual. I just want to recommend that everybody pick up a copy, if you haven't yet, of Nelke and the Legendary Alchemists. I've talked before about how my favorite series of JRPG games is the Atelier series. And this is a series of games about alchemists across different time periods in different fantasy worlds, all of whom are set on developing their cities or countries and improving people's lives. It's the most optimistic video game series that has ever existed. It's always fun, the gameplay is always great, and it's the 20th anniversary of this series. And so they've released a special game called Nelke and the Legendary Alchemists, where you play as a city manager who is trying to develop her city, and over the course of the game, every main character and their supporting cast from every single game turns up to help you with that. So it is like a giant fan service, kind of, you know, glut of content. And yeah, you're going to get more out of it if you already know and love the series, but honestly, it's just a really good city builder game that I'm going to recommend that anyone who likes bright, cheery stuff about fixing the world can enjoy. There's also a new main series Atelier game coming out in May, so I'll be talking about that then. But this series has never really made a splash in America. Last game, they tried doing a full English cast, bonus audio track. And it made me deeply sad because I started the game and the very first thing that happens is the main lady says the title and she thinks the word is pronounced Atelier.
Oh.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you would get the first word of the game. So
but she doesn't know. I mean.
But someone could have told her.
Right.
Like, I'm not blaming her personally. I'm saying that someone should have told her. You know, she didn't do this on her computer at home. She was in a booth and there was a producer and a director there. And it's like,
I find it strange that she doesn't know the word is atelier.
Well, she's American. I mean, why would she know that word?
But still, like, it's still a word that exists.
No, you're right. You're right.
Right?
Well, the thing is, it's like, it's just a word that means workshop, and it sounds classier if you say it in French. And that's
exactly
why that's the title. So it's like, it could have been called workshop, but no, they went with the classy French title.
Yeah.
And, you know, respect that, guys. So yeah, I'm a little annoyed that it hasn't made a bigger splash here. Hopefully with this big anniversary game and a new game coming out in 2 months, They'll get over that hump the way Yakuza did last year, but I'm not 100% confident that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, check it out if you love things that are beautiful. All right, next up, let's talk about TV.
Yeah. Do you want to go first? Or
I'll
should
go
I go first.
Because, I mean, I'm not going to go at length about this. People can watch, I'll direct people to where I talked about this at length. I just want to remind everybody that Barry is back on HBO. In Canada, you would get that with Crave HBO Plus, or if you just have HBO in Canada, you could, through your cable package. I assume nobody has a cable package anymore.
Like, yeah, but if they're streaming, there's a good chance they're streaming HBO.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. So if you're streaming, I mean, it's just as part of HBO, you can watch it, and I'd encourage you to. The first season was incredible, and you're always worried that the second season is going to be a disaster because they're going to not be able to bring that magic back. But based entirely on how great the first episode of the second season was, like, I have full confidence in them that they're going to pull it off again this year. That's how good this episode of television was. So Barry's back. Everybody check out Barry. You owe it to yourself.
I want to recommend a different show.
Ooh.
It's called Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away.
Sorry, is this about Repo Men?
Yes.
There's a Repo Men reality show?
But it's more than that. So it's a British show.
All right.
And part of it is people who repossess cars.
I would, yeah. But
part of it is also people who repossess houses.
You mean evict people from houses? Like, do
well,
you
it's a repossession. Well, no, but like, it's a repossession order.
I was actually going to say mobile houses.
No, these are people getting evicted.
Okay, like that scene from Roger and Me, only sadder.
So and I couldn't get enough of it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, this is absolutely my jam.
It just, cause.
People getting kicked out of their houses.
Well, because we were watching this other show called something like Horrible Tenants, Slum Landlords or something along those lines.
Like, oh my god.
Some other British
There's no
show
hero in this story. About, it's a horrible tenant of a slum landlord.
Well, no, they're separate. Those are, okay. Yeah. So it's either like a slum lord, like a tenant dealing with a slum lord,
or a landlord dealing with a horrible tenant. Okay,
yeah,
I get it.
Exactly. And so in that show, these landlords have to go to court to get their tenants evicted who don't pay rent. You could just not pay your rent in the UK and there's nothing the landlord can do about it.
Is that true?
Yeah, like they have to go to court. It's a civil matter.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, wow. So they go to court and then you can just drag this out for as long as you're able to in court.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so on that show, like these people are going to court and then they get their order of possession, but then they gotta wait to get the bailiffs and that takes a few more weeks and on it goes.
Damn.
And so like when the tenant initially gets this like order of eviction, they could just decide not to leave. And then that further drags out the process. And I'm like, how is this even possible? But then I started watching the Can't Pay Well Take It Away show. It's like these people, the landlords in that show who are getting their tenants evicted, they've gone to the high court and then they show up, with high court enforcement officers who remove these people from the house on the day.
Oh, wow.
So like, if you have the money, you can pay to have your case expedited through the high court. So,
wow.
So it's just watching people get kicked out or get their cars towed away. But in later seasons, well, there are only two seasons available on Canadian Netflix. And the first season is like car repossession and people getting evicted. And then the second season is just people getting evicted.
Oh.
or debt collection.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like they started with a different premise and they fell in love with the title Can't Pay, We'll Take It Away.
Yeah.
And then it developed into a show about kicking people out of houses.
Well, it works for the debt collection as well because if you don't have the money to cover your debt,
they'll take your car. Yeah.
Well, they'll take whatever assets you have.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't know, like, I get the concept, totally, but at the same time, anyway, I feel like if it was more just about repossession and not eviction, then the title would make more sense. That's all
like,
I'm saying.
Totally hooked on this show. Oh, and then I completely forgot about this one. So I burned through all of that, needed to find something else to watch, and stumbled upon Mega Truckers.
Did you just say Mega Truckers?
I sure did. And that's an Australian show, reality TV, obviously, set in and around this heavy haulage, what's called Heavy Haulage Australia. So this like mega trucking business.
Okay.
In Oz. And just like.
First off, thank you for saying in Oz.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That makes me happy.
So this is the garbage I watch.
You really do love garbage, don't you?
And I should be doing other more productive stuff with my time.
You know, you're honest about it, and that's what counts.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're honest. You're like, you don't watch valuable things, but you're honest about it. I respect that. Oh my god. Alright, next up, I believe we have a list.
First we have a list. So, this week's list is 10 terrifying found footage films and 5 that should have stayed lost.
Oh, so good and bad. Nice.
Good and bad. So it's actually a total of 15.
Okay.
Not as I initially thought, 5 and 5.
Well, no, it did say 10 and 5 that should have been lost.
I guess I just sort of misinterpreted the
you
title.
You made some assumptions you probably shouldn't have. Totally fine. Could happen to anybody. Does happen to people all the time. All right. Is it counting down? Is there an authorial voice or?
It does count down.
Okay.
So we're counting down from 10.
Gotcha.
Beginning with, and we're not off to a great start.
Oh no.
The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
God damn it.
Yeah, we didn't like this movie.
It's kind of a garbage movie. And we were lucky enough to get an advanced copy of it because it didn't get, I mean, this thing didn't get released for like years after it came out.
Here's the story.
Yeah.
It was completed, it says, in 2007. Wasn't shown publicly until 2014.
Yeah.
MGM released it as an on-demand title, then shelved it less than a month later, and it's unavailable on DVD or Blu-ray.
So you can't see it now.
Well, I think that's...
Well, you can. I mean, we saw it, but yes.
It's out there, because...
It's like, out there. I mean, yeah. I got sent a copy because those directors briefly optioned something that I wrote with somebody. So I have, like, a burned copy of it.
Oh, but yeah, I don't feel you're missing anything.
No, no. It's good if you don't want to watch it. It's kind of a trash film, and then the guys went on to make Devil, which was also kind of a trash film.
Quarantine, which I didn't realize, and As Above, So Below.
That was, okay, weird, because good turnaround, guys. We had a good time with As Above, So Below. Yep. I had no idea that was them.
Ending of As Above, So
No, you're
Below.
Right. We like the last 5 minutes of As Below, So Below. You're right. I don't want to go nuts and suggest we love that movie. We didn't love that movie. We love the last 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
It ends really well. It ends really, really well. And as we learned from Adaptation, if you got a good ending, people will forgive you almost everything.
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty cool, actually. All right, go for it.
Okay, number next.
Number next. By the way, you just said number next.
Did I?
You said number next, yes.
Oh, all right.
It makes me very happy.
I stand by it. VHS 2.
VHS 2, was that the one with the magician? No, that's VHS Viral.
VHS 2 has the one with the death cult.
Oh, okay, yeah. There's fun stuff in VHS 2.
I think the death cult is the best one.
You know, it absolutely is. It might be. Yeah. Well, I don't think that's the best one of the whole series. I think the best one of the whole series is the guys who on Halloween go to a haunted house.
Oh, yes. No, you're right. That is the best one.
That's the best segment they ever did.
They
go to a real haunted house, and it's so good.
It's so weird.
So messed up, so weird, so fun.
And the best reason for it being recorded, because the guy is a friggin' nanny cam. That is an amazing idea for a costume.
He's going as a nanny cam. It was perfect.
That's so brilliant.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, people, that's like by far the best thing the VHS franchise ever did. Like, there's nothing even close. They never accomplished anything close to that. So, yeah.
But the Safe Haven segment in VHS 2 is really good.
Oh, no, it is really good. And, I mean, there's hit and miss. There's good stuff throughout the VHS franchise.
And there's a lot of garbage.
There's so much garbage.
Including the framing story. In the first one or the second one is about...
Well, the first one is literally the house full of VHS tapes. That is just so stupid.
And the second one is about a bunch of, like, sexual predators?
What was the second one about? No, that was the first one. The first one is the guys who start by exposing women's breasts, and then they get hired to go break into a house.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm trying to remember what this...
It's just, it's like...
It is disgusting.
Crass and...
Unpleasant to watch. Yeah. Makes you feel just sick as a person, just as a human.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good reaction to that. every one of those series, like every element of that series has some good and bad in it, but like they got worse as they went on, but that segment is really good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
All right. Next is My Little Eye.
Which one is My Little Eye?
We haven't seen this and I think that we should.
Is this the one that Bradley Cooper is in?
Yes.
Then I have seen it.
You have seen it.
I saw this like 15 years ago when it came out.
2002.
17 years ago when it came out. No, I didn't see it when it came out. Here's how I saw this movie. Rogers, the terrible company that handles cable in Canada, is just a terrible company that's impossible to deal with. They used to have this thing with the digital box where you would, have a move, like you could just tune and rent a movie, right? You would like go to channel zero and you would rent a movie and it would take it like 3 minutes to load the movie. It was awkward as hell, but you know, YouTube didn't exist yet.
On demand.
Yeah, well, it was called On Demand, but you're absolutely right. I like that I'm trying to over-explain the concept of On Demand. You're right. That was ridiculous what I just did. I'm not going to defend that. But anyway, the point I'm getting at is, they would also, in addition to stuff you had to pay for, there would be like, every month there would be like four just free movies to watch to get you excited about the concept of using On Demand. And... So that's how I saw You Got Served, which is fascinating. I cannot recommend the movie You Got Served strongly enough. It is a fascinating movie because it is clearly a movie that stopped production halfway through the movie. And then when production came back, they couldn't get everyone back. So like, it's a very weird movie to watch to the point where it's like, the whole plot of the movie is like them trying to raise money to get a murderous drug dealer off their back. And then none of that comes up for the next 45 minutes of the movie. And they're like, hey, whatever happened with that drug dealer who was going to kill us? And then Steve Harvey is like, oh, I took care of that.
I thought it was a dance contest movie.
It is! That's the strange part! It's about a dance contest! But there's a whole elaborate subplot about them being in debt to a drug dealer. It is a very serious drama stuff, and then they're like, oh, well obviously we couldn't get that actor back, and we had to cancel that part of the movie, so Steve Harvey's just like, no, I resolved that plot off camera, don't worry about it. It's fine. It is totally fine. But yeah, so it's an amazing movie in a lot of ways, but I would always love to encourage people to check out You Got Served.
But what about My Little Eye?
My Little Eye was also one of the movies on there, and I just turned it on randomly, and I'm like, oof, this is a rough watch. And if you want to cover it on the show sometime, I absolutely will, but it is just to watch.
It's bad or?
No, it's just bleak and unpleasant.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
well,
one of those
that's
really
their bread and butter here. So.
It is. So next time we're doing a found footage / snuff film episode, we can throw My Little Eye on there. I'd totally be down with that.
Okay.
All right.
Number 7. Ugh, The Sacrament.
God damn it. Why do people like this movie?
Don't.
Oh God.
Because it's like, Jonestown.
It's just Jonestown. Like, it's Jonestown to the point where the guy literally is just quoting Jim Jones in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're using actual things Jim Jones said instead of writing their own movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, what happened in Jonestown is freaky, but I can just watch a documentary about Jonestown. I don't need your fake version of Jonestown. Yeah. Come on guys. All right. What's next?
Number 6, The Last Horror Movie.
Oh, we love that.
Did we?
Yes, that's the one where you start watching a movie about some murderers who escape from prison, and then it goes fuzzes out, and he's like, hi, I taped over this movie you thought you were watching.
And now I'm going to kill you.
Film, and now I'm going to kill you. It's so much fun.
I don't remember liking it.
Well, I mean, not in the traditional sense of the word liking. We had a lot of fun watching that movie.
Okay.
It's not a great movie, but we had a lot of fun watching it. I guarantee we enjoyed watching that movie.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to say it's great. You're not going to trick me into saying I think it's great. I don't. I remember us enjoying the movie. And that is the extent of what I'll say about
it. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
I shouldn't, but I will.
No, historically, that has proven to be a very bad decision in the past. But thank you for taking my word for it this time.
Number 5, The Blair Witch Project.
Feels like it should be higher on the list. I mean, I've bad-mouthed this movie plenty of times for a lot of reasons, but I would be a fool to, A, you know, downplay its importance to the genre, and B, you know, downplay the craft that went into making this movie. Like, yes. It's a really, really well-made movie.
It is.
I might get pissed off at the characters, but it's a really well-made movie.
Which is fine.
No, it's totally fine.
Yeah. You can't, this movie should be higher up this list for a lot of reasons.
It's crazy that it's not.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Number four, Wreck.
Oh, I really like Wreck.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Creepy as hell. Really good. Quarantine is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Just, again, pure unadulterated garbage, but Wreck is, like, really solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number three, Paranormal Activity.
Okay, here's the thing. I haven't changed my point of view about Paranormal Activity. I spent plenty of time bad-mouthing Paranormal Activity, and I'm not taking any of that back, right? But I will say, and this is the importance of good film criticism, right? I will say, if you look at that film solely as the story of a toxic scumbag abusing his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Then yeah, it's a really good depiction of that.
Yes.
And I completely agree with that reading. I didn't read it that way at the time. I just thought he was a generic scumbag.
That's what everybody thought.
But if you read it that way and you look at it that way, whether or not they meant that for the film to be that, it's a really good depiction of that specific, like that specific relationship. So yeah, thumbs up to their brutal portrayal of an abusive relationship in an otherwise just, ugh, movie.
Okay, number two.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen and Ooh. Never will.
Oh no.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Don't watch it.
Just no.
Don't watch it. No,
I'm not going to.
No, like, I agree with, you shouldn't watch it. Like, I'm not gonna be one of those guys like, oh, you're not extreme then?
No, that's not the reason why I won't watch it.
No, of course not. That's not the reason. I'm saying I'm not gonna be one of those dicks who says that if you can't take it, you know, can you really call yourself a horror fan? No, that's not why you shouldn't watch it. Just don't watch it.
Do you know why I won't watch it?
I would love, cause they kill turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I get that. That makes perfect sense to me. Like, I would not watch it just for, like, I knew there was turtle murder in it, and I may have fast forward past the turtle murder.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like, that is a completely 100% valid reason never to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I did watch it anyway, but I 100% think you totally valid in not watching it specifically for that reason.
Yes.
I totally agree with you.
I know that Apocalypse Now has cow slaughter in it.
Yes.
But that's different.
It's completely because different.
Because that's an actual ritual that these people performed.
Yeah.
And he was allowed to film it only if he didn't cut out that part of the ritual.
I know.
So.
Yeah.
That's why that's there.
By
the Cannibal Holocaust? No,
they
excuse.
Just, yeah. Straight they just up did that murdered to be disgusting. A
turtle. Yep.
Perfectly innocent turtle. Ugh. God, that movie. Cannibal Ferox is much easier to watch by comparison, but you've already seen Green Inferno, so you probably don't have to watch Cannibal Ferox.
Okay.
It's literally the same movie. Like,
oh, what about Anthropophagy?
I haven't seen Anthropophagy.
Oh, okay.
Which one is that about? Like, what's that one about?
Well, it's also about cannibalism, obviously, based on the title.
I sounded much dumber than I meant to when I asked what that was about, and I apologize.
I'm being a jerk because
no, you are being a jerk about that. You're absolutely being a jerk. I mean, I said something really dumb, but you were a jerk about it.
But I think it's from the same era.
Okay.
When they were making these ridiculous movies.
All right, I will have to. So, I'll have to check that out. So there you
okay.
go.
All right. I'm trying to conjure up the box art in my head, but I keep Cannibal Ferox is one with Saturn eating his children, right?
I think so. No, that's Anthropophagy.
That is Anthropophagy.
No, that's okay. Anthropophagy, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, number one. Get ready to be excited.
I'm always ready to be excited. You know that about me.
Lake Mungo.
What?!
Yay!
The movie we have championed harder than any other movie ever?
Yes.
I'm so blown away that that's on there.
I know, too.
Oh, thank God. Whose list was this?
This is Variety.
Can we send Variety, like, a flower arrangement or something? Thank God.
Right?
I mean, we've talked about this before on the show. I mean, you can listen to our Make Lake Mungo episode if you want, just to hear us talk about it on the show. But it is the best, like, mockumentary that is not to be named Ghost Watch. Like, there's Ghost Watch, and then there's Lake Mungo, and then there's every other mockumentary. Because it's not found footage, it is a mockumentary.
But
there are found footage elements in it.
Together. Footage and mockumentary also usually
absolutely. They are often lumped together for very good reasons. Like, I'm not saying they're dumb to call it found footage. There are found footage elements. Right. But it is technically a mockumentary, and it is the best mockumentary I've ever seen. Like, it's Ghost Watch. It's incredible. It is genuinely terrifying. It will haunt you for days afterwards. I can't say enough good things about this amazing movie. You need to watch Lake Mungo if you haven't watched Lake Mungo. We have if you want to hear us talk about it, there is a podcast where we spoil every single thing about it because we talk. We go at length about every single detail of the movie Lake Mungo.
Yep.
Because it really warrants that kind of incredibly close look. How often do I watch a movie and then immediately watch it again?
Well, it says here, watch this movie in a dark room right before bed and prepare to lose some sleep.
But seriously, like, I watched this in the middle of the afternoon and it creeped me out. And then I watched it right again because, and I'm not going to say why you have to watch it right immediately again, but you do. You have to watch it again immediately. It's the best job anyone's ever done. Lake Mungo's fantastic. Thank you so much, Variety.
Okay, you're ready for the five that should have stayed
lost? Oh, yeah, the
five
worst, absolutely.
All right, here we go. Number five, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension.
I still haven't seen this.
Me neither.
That's the spinoff with the, hanging out in the Hispanic community, and he, like, travels through time to the plot of one of the movies or something.
I haven't seen it, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, why am I asking you what happens in the movie? That was a very insensitive thing of me to do. Obviously, you're not going to be able to tell me. But yeah, I heard nothing but bad things. All right, next.
Number four, Devil's Due.
Right, the baby one. Yes. Yeah, that was trash. That was just trash. Okay.
Oh, you're number three. I didn't think it was this. We've seen worse movies than Apollo 18.
Well, no, but I mean, we often talk about broken recording logic and broken editing logic, and it is fair to say that that film has the most broken presentation logic of any film ever. Like, literally, at the end of the movie, all of the footage explodes half a mile above the moon. How am I watching this?
How does this movie exist? Yeah.
How does this movie exist? It's such a dumb movie. But moon spiders, so there you go.
Exactly. Who doesn't love a moon spider? Okay, number two, which I think should be number one.
Please.
Is Area 51.
Oh, we hated that movie so much.
One of the worst found footage movies.
It's a garbage found footage movie.
Because it's
right there with you on that one.
So stupid.
It is. Like, it is deeply, deeply stupid.
Yep.
Like, it'll make you sad that about the world that this movie happened.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's garbage. Next up.
All right, ready for number one?
Always.
The Devil Inside.
Oh, the movie that forgot to have an ending! I remember you. You forgot to have an ending! Like, seriously, how often do you get to say screw you movie to that extent? Where it's like, I think we figured out what's going on. Let's talk to that priest. They get in the car. The car crashes. What? This movie has only been going on for 71 minutes. Is this the end? Oh, it is the end. You just put up a title card telling me to go to a website.
Yeah.
Oh my God, screw you that movie.
Yep.
A title card? Telling me to go to a website at the end of a movie.
Yeah, the website is down. So
well, I would hope.
If you watch this movie now, you can't go to the website and find out the end.
Spoiler alert, if you went to the website, it didn't tell you the end. It's not like there was like a satisfying thing if you went to the website and like, oh, now I get the point of that movie. No, that's not what happened. Nothing happened if you went to the website. It was just more like, no one has heard from them since. Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. Just a totally garbage movie in every respect. Just complete trash. Oh my God. All right. Yeah. So Devil Inside, never watch Devil Inside. Ever, ever, ever. Oh, unless you're talking about the video for the NXS song, in which case, be my guest. I mean, if you like NXS, I'm not going to transcribe
yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird, weird way I took that at the end, and I apologize.
What a win! That is a really deep cut.
Thank you. I hope that was a compliment.
No, it is. I was surprised you managed to pull that one out.
Yeah, no, I was surprised too. It just came out. Alright, so, you know what, we love found footage here, and we've seen most of these movies, so it's not like, like we have reason to be ashamed. Like we have seen, well, we have a little reason to be ashamed. But, we always do. But, it is nice. I'm glad we have seen almost all of these movies. Like almost all. And I really do think you're right. We should check out My Little Eye next time we find another snuff film related thing to watch.
Okay.
Because I think you'll find it mildly interesting. And I think it's one of those movies that I'm not going to say it's gotten better because of where society has gone, but I'm going to say it's gotten more relevant because of where society has gone since the film was made. Mm-hmm. Because reality television was barely a thing when it's a movie in many ways about reality television.
Right.
But reality television and internet culture and whatnot was not the kind of thing it would become when the movie got made.
So like, so is it kind of like, The Contenders, or sorry, Series 7 in that regard? Series 7 is a great movie.
Just so far ahead of its time.
It came out of the wrong time. Yeah.
Way too far. Yeah, I think it is. Although that said, obviously if this movie had been made 5 years later, it would have been a very different movie.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, like, cause it's commenting specifically on the briefly popular fad of, you know, like, there would be a website, but it's Big Brother. So it's like a website of like, people have to live in an isolated house and you can just watch them 24 hours a day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But without a network TV component, just the website.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's the premise. And I'm not going to say anything more about it because I don't want to spoil the movie for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Well, like I said, I mean, I don't know that it's great, but Bradley Cooper is in the movie before, I believe, like right before he got Alias, he made this movie.
It's his second leading role.
He's not a lead. He's in one scene.
Well, his second.
Like it is obviously like a lie to get people to watch the movie to say that Bradley Cooper is a lead in the movie. Like Bradley Cooper is literally in one scene in the movie.
Okay, well, like it's his second role then.
Okay, it's like his second professional role ever. Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, so yeah, Bradley Cooper, I mean, he's always great, but yeah, it's like he's just an incredibly small role in a horror movie. Okay, so those are a good assemblage of found footage movies, but I'm wondering, is that something they're going to keep making, found footage movies?
I feel like yes.
Okay.
But I don't know when, because this week's upcoming horror movie is not a found footage movie.
I was kind of hoping, but yeah, I should have planned that with you in advance if I wanted that to work out.
I should have tried to find a found footage movie.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is on you. I'm not going to do that. All right, what have you got for us?
Okay, instead I found a Christmas movie that comes out later this month.
Perfect, right in April. Time for Easter.
Perfect, yes, exactly.
We got a new Christmas movie coming out right in time for Easter. Then I stared through the guy's face forever. I just stared and stared and stared until he slunk away in shame. Jesus.
The movie is called I Trapped the Devil.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is it like Rare Exports, but with Satan instead of Santa? Oh, I get it. Satan is an anagram for Santa. I just got that.
Oh, God. Are you ready?
I only say dumb things, and I apologize.
Okay, don't interrupt please. My synopsis.
No, please, synopsize away.
Christmas is supposed to be a time for peace and joyful family reunions. But when Matt and his wife Karen show up unannounced at the home of his estranged brother, Steve, to celebrate the holidays, they are instead greeted with a horrifying surprise. Trapped in the basement is a man, but not just any man. Steve believes that his hostage is none other than the devil himself. As shock and skepticism turn to fear and paranoia, Matt and Karen find themselves facing a terrifying quandary. Is Steve dangerously unhinged? Or could the mysterious stranger really be evil incarnate? Either way, the stage is set for a true Christmas from hell.
Wow. Maybe we can pair this thing with Crazy as Hell and then do our Mr. Frost influence stuff all at once.
Well, see, like this, it sounds a little like Big Bad Wolves.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, you told me extensively about
it. Okay, that's so good.
I'm going to see it, but I haven't.
And then, you know, other movies or like Castle Rock, you know, like, hey, yeah, I caught this guy and he's a bad guy. And the guy's like, no, I'm not. I'm just a guy.
Yeah. It's a popular device.
So I saw the trailer.
Oh no.
And it's really hard to make any sense of what's going on in the trailer. My big issue, of course,
is that it stars Billy Zane.
It does not star Billy Zane.
God, if only.
But, so this guy is estranged from his brother and he just decides to show up unannounced on his doorstep.
I know, like that is just a terrible idea all around.
Awful.
I haven't talked to my brother in 5 years. Here's what we're going to do. Christmas, the most stressful time of the year, we're just going to show up at his house.
Right.
That's the way to repair these burned bridges.
100%. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
I see nothing conceivably wrong with this plan. This plan can only have good outcomes. Oh, God. But yeah, no, we've heard that premise a lot. Like a guy's got Satan in his basement and blah, 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 blah. Like that's a very popular premise. So maybe it'll be good, but you're right that it's such a cliche that there's almost no way it can be.
No, it could be good. I'm just saying that from the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're doing a good job of making the brother just seem like a paranoid lunatic.
Okay.
So,
which means the guy is almost definitely actually Satan, because that's the only.
And then,
way
like,
kind of
you hear the voice of the guy who's like trapped in the basement, and you know they've added this like
devil tone,
devil effect to the voice. It's like, well, that doesn't sound like a normal human being. Their voices don't resonate like that. So
I've got to say, wouldn't it be hilarious? Well, first off, that's probably something they just did in the trailer.
Oh, I hope so.
Because I love it when they like juice up trailers to make it seem more exciting or give you a wrong impression. Like that famous Highlander Endgame trailer where they added magic to the movie and there is no magic in the movie. Or my favorite trailer in recent memory where it was the Texas Chainsaw 3D trailer where at the last shot of the trailer is like him revving up the chainsaw and putting it to a woman's neck and the woman screams.
Mm-hmm.
But the chainsaw is clearly turned off and the woman is gagged. Like, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing, filmmakers? But yeah, so often, they try to juice up trailers. So maybe they just did that only for the trailer and it's not actually indicative of the film's content.
We can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. We live in hope. But it's like, I kind of want one of those movies to be like, here's the thing. The reason I can't let you into the house is I've got the devil tied up in the basement. And it's like, have you gone crazy again? Have you stopped taking your meds? No, seriously, I've got the devil tied up in the basement. And then it's like, you hear the person yelling and screaming. It's like, I'm not a devil, please. I was just here to deliver a thing and he kidnapped me. You got to set me free. And the guy's like, no, trust me. He's the prince of lies. He lies all the time. It's all he knows how to do. You got to trust me. So he finally like clubs his brother and goes in the basement and there's like a literal devil tied up.
I'm just a census taker.
Just a census taker.
And he really does have a clipboard.
He's got a clipboard and he's wearing a suit, but he's like red skin, horns, yeah. Devil tail, also has a pitchfork. Why did you leave him his pitchfork? And then he's like, oh, sorry, Steve. And he goes back upstairs and he locks the door. You deal with this devil situation. I apologize for hitting you with that vase. I know it was our grandfather's vase. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go. Deal with this and I'm going to go.
I'm going to go. I'm going to spend Christmas at a Howard Johnson's.
Right. Red Lobster, here I come.
Red Lobster, then staying at Howard Johnson's. That's my Christmas, baby. All right. And on that note, let's move on to our first movie of the evening, which is definitely not about that.
No, our first movie tonight is a found footage movie called Dark Mountain.
Oh, no. I believe it's called Dark Moon Tane.
Moun Tane.
Well, if I say the letter M-O-U-N, I would assume that was pronounced moon.
Moon? Moan. Moan. Maybe.
Yeah, that's tough. But yeah, they have a terrible poster where it's dark and then the four letters M-O-U-N and then the four letters T-A-I-N. And I'm like, that's not how you design a poster.
Also, not dark.
No.
Kind of a rusty color.
It's a botched poster in every respect.
Okay, in 2011, three friends try to make their own version of the Blair Witch Project by hunting for the legendary Lost Dutchman Mine.
It is just the Blair Witch Project in every respect.
So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can answer this.
I definitely can.
I should have looked it up.
Please.
Did the iPhone have that filter for the camera?
There's
in
no
2011?
Way it had the old timey prospector filter for
I didn't
the camera
think so.
In 20. Like, there's no way, right?
That has I mean, I don't know. I don't remember 2011.
I don't think it did. I really don't think it did.
It was 8 years ago. I don't think so either.
But the point is, like,
Instagram
they keep,
with their, yeah, I feel like with it their is, filters.
Yeah. I think it was post Instagram.
I don't think the iPhone had like the Super 8 filter.
No. I'm like, I'm watching, it's like, what is with the 8 millimeter filter?
I know, the first time I saw it, like, well, I don't think you can record sound onto 8 mil. And it's not going to sound that good if you have Super 8. And like play through my head trying to figure out how it's possible that it could sound like that and look like that at the same time.
And then they eventually reveal, oh, she's using her phone.
Oh, it's a phone.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to be a great documentarian. That's why for my documentary, I'm filming everything with my phone using a ridiculous filter. You know you can put that filter on in editing later, right?
Yeah, to
make the raw footage as good as possible and then screw around with filters later.
But again, but this is another thing trying to be Blair Witch Project because they had the video camera.
They actually had an 8mm camera, yeah.
And a film camera.
Oh yeah, it was 16 and VHS, yeah. Not VHS.
Super 16.
Yeah, it was Super 16 and it was a video camera. You're right. But it's like, in this, it makes no internally logical sense in the movie that she's using this filter all of the time.
And then the other issue, of course, like back to the sound, it's like, okay, she makes a point of making sure that everybody is wearing their mics, like they're all mic'd up. But it's like,
yeah,
well, that sound has to go somewhere.
Yeah. I know.
The pack doesn't record the sound.
No, it transmits it to the recorder.
It transmits it to the recorder. So who's got
the
receiver?
Recorder? I know.
Who's recording this sound? Because it's not
where
going
are,
into the
where
camera.
Are the 1,000 batteries they would need to have?
For a portable unit like that. Like it just...
No. Makes no sense.
It doesn't make... You just capture the wild sound on the camera. It's fine.
Yeah. And then we'll take that. We'll fix it later in post. And let's assume somebody did. Again, this is that total recording presentation logic where it's like, how did people end up with this footage?
Well, we'll get there. So, like, it's weird. This film probably... would have actually been better as a third person narrative as opposed to a first person narrative, although they keep handing off the camera so everybody's included. But still, because they've got setups that you would see in just a regular third person film, like when they've got the camera set up by the campfire.
Yeah.
And so the people are lit by the campfire, but then you've got the lights on inside the tent, so the tents are lit. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I realize that she's a budding documentarian, yes. But that's a pretty sophisticated camera setup for someone.
Well, especially since they're carrying almost no equipment.
Well, this is the other thing. I'm like, you are not prepared for 3 nights in the wilderness. Her bag is empty.
Her bag is completely empty. Well, I want to point out, they have 2 tents.
I know, there's no way those guys have tents in those bags.
No. Well, we're expected to believe they have 2 tents, 800 batteries, right? Food, some amount of water. Although, there's a scene in the movie where they're like, let's fill up our water at this stream. You didn't bring 3 days worth of water with you into the desert? Oh,
that's really heavy. You can't do that.
You gotta bring a huge amount of water with you.
No, what you do... Really?
Stay by the stream?
You stay by the fucking water source.
That's true. That would be a better solution. Set up camp next to the
and
stream.
You don't have one water bottle for 3 people.
That is pretty crazy.
Each person should have at least one, and because you're in the desert, maybe 2.
Well, no, but I'm like, yeah, you say it's heavy, but I'm talking about, like, you drink 4 liters of water a day, you know? Well, maybe 5 liters of water a day. That's only 30 pounds of water per person. It's not that much, and it gets lighter as you go.
Someone who's done a lot more camping than you.
Oh, a huge amount more camping than I have.
I can tell you that you're not carrying that much water with you at any time.
I know, and that's why I will never go to the desert.
Well, just stay by the stream. Don't be a fucking idiot.
You want to talk about idiots. So literally, the first day they're there, right? So they go to sleep, they wake up the next day, they find a cave, they explore the cave, they find quartz with flecks of gold in it, and they find cave paintings on the wall of UFOs communing with people, right? And then they hear a gunshot outside, and they return to their camp, and
their camp has been
trashed.
So two of them go into the cave, one guy stays outside. The guy outside hears the gunshot. The people in the cave hear shit. She sees something creepy through the camera, freaks the fuck out, and then refuses to look at the footage later on.
What
when
the hell was
about
that?
What's wrong with you?
One of you heard a gunshot. One of you heard something creepy. And now you're refusing to look at the footage. I don't know what it was. And then they get back to their camp. And their camp has been trashed.
Yeah.
And then they don't immediately nope out of there.
Well, this is...
How do you not immediately nope out of there?
So here's
leave
the thing.
Leave the tents. Leave everything. Walk home.
No, pack up and go. But
by the way, I just want to point out, I would not take the time to pack up. I would just be gone.
Again, as someone who's had to nope out of a campsite very quickly.
You can pack up quickly?
You'd be surprised at how fast you can pack up a campsite.
Okay. Again, you're the expert. I'm not gonna claim any expertise on this. So you can pack up when you've under the right motivation. You can pack up that camp pretty quick.
Real. I'm not saying it was a great packing job and we may have just thrown the tent in the canoe. We got out of there real fast.
Okay. I am very happy to hear that. This is a story you can tell me later.
Okay. I think I did tell you this story.
I mean, you know what? You definitely did. What am I saying?
So, yeah, when they get back to the camp, so they have, like, they're meant to record themselves as well, like, you know, their confessions or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she records herself saying, I know we should leave, but I need to stay because I don't have an ending yet for my movie. Fuck you, movie.
Here's your ending. People ran you out of the scary mountain and you got a picture of a monster and like historically important cave paintings and someone trashed your camp. You know what? That's a perfectly good ending. No one is going to call you a coward for not having a better ending than that.
And then the guy who's now possessed with the spirit of something.
Who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows? He's cool with it. So, you know, majority rules. Muscles, glasses. He's stuck spending another night at the campsite.
Oh my God, these people. They so thoroughly piss me off.
I know. It just, so I'm a little, I don't really know what's going on in this movie. Cause on the one hand, it's a lost mine. And this was,
Apache Land?
No, not
Apache Land.
Oh, maybe it is Apache.
We would have to check a map. But anyway, let's say Apache Land for now. It might have been Apache Land.
Let's go with that, because I honestly...
And so, sometimes people get shot up there for looking for the mine.
Well, like, it's like, this was Apache Land, and then this guy, he, like, sees the land for himself, and there was, like, this old mine on it, but there's some, like, thing with... But the Apaches, like... So, you know, there's, like, historically, there's a lot of conflict.
Yes.
Over the years. Around this piece of land where this lost mine is supposed to be. But then there's also UFOs.
Yes. And the implication that the Dutchman, in fact, got his gold from aliens and not a mine.
And not a mine.
That is a pretty clear implication in the movie that he actually got his gold. The reason no one could ever find the mine was he got his gold from aliens.
Like, I like the idea that the mine doesn't actually exist.
Yeah. And it's
like,
just
that's
aliens.
A cool idea. It but is. It being aliens
is a weird way to go.
It's
a pretty weird way to go. And I'm like, is it going to be Killbillies, like, just created the myth of this mine?
So
that...
To
lure people into getting Killbillied? Maybe. Well, and the thing that really got me, though, was these characters didn't have a key new piece of information to explain how they were going to be the ones to finally...
Well, this is just it. So at the beginning of the... Because, again, this is Blair Witch Project. The beginning of the movie is a bunch of interviews with different people about the Lost Dutchman Mine.
Yeah.
And they go to a museum, which is a real place. Mm-hmm. And in the museum, they buy a guidebook, which every other person on Earth has bought who's passed through that museum. They've got this ridiculous map that doesn't make any sense. And it's like, you're using the same tools as everybody else. Every other.
Why do you think you're going to be the one to find it?
Exactly. And then on top of the Aboriginal ghosts, the aliens, you have time for disease.
There is also, by the way, I can't believe we didn't mention this yet. They also get stuck in a time vortex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which they're also told about. There are vortexes, but the guy doesn't mention time issues.
No, and the weird part is, like, if they had gone in saying not that we're going to be the ones to find the mine,
maybe just
but rather that we're going to make a documentary about the phenomenon of the Lost Dutchman mine, and then we're going to talk to the people who live in the area, we're going to talk to people who've looked for it, we're going to do an investigation about the people who disappeared, and then as a capper, we're going to go out there for like 3 days at the end to get some footage of what it's like being out there to try and get a sense of what these people experienced in their search.
That would have been more interesting.
And it would have made perfect sense, and all of this still could have happened. But the fact that they seem to think they're going to find the mine when they have no new information. When I wrote this exact movie, it was based on, and I wrote a movie that's basically the same as this, but the characters had a reason to think they were going to find the thing, like, that no one else had, right? And I'm like, the first thing I put in was, well, there's got to be a reason they think it's a good idea to go looking and where they can succeed where other people have failed. If there's missing gold that people have looked for, you got to have a good reason to think you're going to be the one to find it when everyone else has failed. And that was like the first question I asked myself when I sat down to write this. And whoever made this movie didn't think of it at all.
Yeah.
And it really bothered me.
But the other thing, though, that they didn't seem to have spent a lot of time on is how all these elements, these supernatural elements, connect with one another or interact with one another. They seem to be all mutually exclusive.
Completely disparate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the aliens aren't shooting people in the head.
No, the aliens just kind of show, there's some lights in the sky. That's about it. That's all we get for the aliens.
They also do the communication thing and you actually see the guy get possessed and get depossessed. So the aliens are doing that.
Well, no, the aliens aren't possessing this guy. Those are supposed to be the spirits of whomever.
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be the, you know what? I'm sure I'm interpreting it wrong. I thought that was supposed to be the aliens.
No.
Because the possession force does fly up into the air at the end.
No, I think that's just because it's just a...
Heaven is up?
No, it's not even up. I think that's just where it goes.
Okay.
When it just leaves his body. It's just...
All right.
But yeah, the possession is not aliens.
Okay. I thought the possession was the aliens, but I mean, the film is so, like, oblique that it's easy to misinterpret.
And then there's all this time stuff, and then they stumble upon a campsite from the 70s that no one else apparently has ever found.
Well, because they are in the 70s when they find it.
I guess. Sure. Why not?
I mean, no, that's clearly the impression, because, like, they've got this, they find the notebook from the 70s, but all of the entries have, like, just been written. Right.
I thought that was just there really.
And the batteries. Oh, no. And the batteries in the tape recorder still work. No. They're supposed to be in the 70s when that happens. But you're right that the film doesn't make it clear. I am meeting them more than halfway, and it could be they're just bad at aging props. That was my first thought too, that they're just bad at aging props. But then when the battery operated tape recorder still worked 35 years later, I'm like, oh no, they went through a time vortex. It's fine.
But there's no sense of, like, entering the time vortex or leaving
vortex. No, absolutely.
Right?
Well, one of the things that bothered me, like, the most was that you're out here to find something weird. And first off, and this is just a tip to all of you would-be paranormal investigators. If you're going out in the desert, and this isn't an element in the film, but if you're going out into the desert to search for whatever, I don't know what you're searching for, I don't know what you're hoping to find, but whatever you're searching for, if you're searching for something in the desert, bring a Geiger counter, okay? That's vitally important. Radium is dangerous, and there is radioactive stuff all over the desert, especially if you're going to go spelunking. Bring a Geiger counter. So they like, we got to find something interesting weird out here in the desert. And then they're like, they stumble across a mysterious hatch.
Yeah!
Half buried in the sand. 100 miles from nowhere.
Yep.
There's your movie. That hatch is your movie. Like, there's nothing you're gonna find in a cave that's more interesting than that hatch right there.
Exactly. And then you can go through the hatch and end up in Devil's Pass. Because that movie took a turn that you didn't see coming and it was great.
So good. But that's the thing, it's like, this hatch, this is the story. This is like, you came out here looking for an amazing documentary.
And here it is.
And here it is. And then they'd ignore it completely.
It's like, you know what? We'll come back later.
We'll come back.
What? It's getting dark.
This is like, I went out to make a documentary about apples, and I met D.B. Cooper. And then I'm like, I'll talk to him later. Let's get back to these apples.
Exactly.
No.
He's not going anywhere.
Throw out whatever you thought you were making the documentary about and make a documentary about this hatch in the middle of the desert. Oh, God. This movie is so frustrating.
D.B. Cooper?
I don't know. He's out there somewhere.
Where did that come from?
Well, no, but it's like, that's a complete, I'm saying, you're going to make a documentary about one thing and then you find something better to make a documentary about. I could have said Bigfoot, I don't know. I went with D.B. Cooper, it just happened.
I mean, I love that it's D.B. Cooper.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
I don't think you want to look too hard into why I said D.B. Cooper. I don't think there's a good reason for why I said D.B. Cooper.
Anyway, so they find the gold. A bunch of other weird shit happens. They return the gold because they think all the weird shit is because they took the gold out of the cave.
Yeah.
It's
obvious the aliens really care about gold.
I guess. But then, know, like, right? The weird stuff keeps happening after they return the gold, so that clearly wasn't...
Yeah. And then the movie just stops.
Problems, and then the movie stops. Well, it ends. I mean, a guy disappears. He's no longer in the film.
Yep.
And I'm not entirely sure what his deal was to begin with.
And the when the woman does a dramatic reading from the Blair Witch Project. From the script of the Blair Witch Project.
At a more flattering angle.
That's true. It's a much more flattering angle than in the Blair Witch Project. Because that's what was wrong with the Blair Witch Project, you know. They made her look ugly by shooting a camera up her nose. And that's the way, if we're remaking our Blair Witch Project, that's what we gotta fix.
Alright, you shoot from above. So, but she does a really good job holding the camera steady while she's crying.
To the point that it's almost as if someone else is filming her. Sorry, it's just, I mean, say what you will about the Blair Witch Project. They friggin' actually had those three people make the movie, and that's why it works.
Yes, exactly.
Because the people in the movie made the movie. There was a cinematographer filming everything in this movie.
Yeah. So it's a little unclear exactly what happens to these people. I guess there's...
It's completely unclear. It's like, don't say a little. It's completely unclear what happens to these characters. I have no idea what happened to them at the end.
They're not and in addition to the aliens and the ghosts and the what have yous, there is a person out there wandering around.
That's true.
And we never find out anything.
No.
About that.
No, we learn nothing about this character.
So.
Like what the character was up to, what they wanted, why they were chasing them, nothing. We learn nothing.
Yeah.
Such a frustrating
movie. And then the movie is over and you're left with more questions than answers.
Yeah. I mean, is it as bad as that one about dirt bikers, Phoenix Lights? Maybe.
But that had Troy Baker.
That did have Troy Baker in it. That made me.
And this doesn't.
And this doesn't have Troy Baker. All right. So I guess what we're trying to say is don't watch, Dark Mountain.
Yeah.
Or even Dark Moon Tame.
I think, cause again, like, I think they're just trying a little too hard with this whole, you know, filmmaker in search of an ending kind of thing that's going on in this movie. It's like,
I think that's true.
You really don't like, need to be.
Get what you're getting at, but it's not really helping you.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it's garbage. Now we wanted to give a shout out to one of the most important movies of the past 20 years.
I'd say like, so.
Definitely one of the most important and a film that has become shamefully unrecognized. This movie is having its 20th anniversary and that has decided to be celebrated by nothing.
By nothing and no one. I think it's because of its sequels.
Maybe. All right. So obviously, I guess we should probably mention this.
Okay, we're talking
about The Matrix. I'm like, is The Matrix the last time I saw a movie twice in theaters?
Is it?
It might be. It might be. Like, I don't think I've gone back to a theater to see a thing a second time in the past 20 years.
Wow.
I know, that's sad for me more than anything else.
I don't know why I'm saying wow, because I haven't done that.
You haven't done that either. But did you see The Matrix twice in theaters?
I think I only saw it the one time.
Okay, because I did see The Matrix twice
in theaters. I don't remember what movie I saw twice in theaters that wasn't Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
do you want to hear something crazy? The film I've seen most in theaters, all right, most of it, than any of those theaters, Terminator 2. I maintain that is a perfect film.
It's a perfect
film. From beginning to end, it is a perfect film.
Perfect sequel.
And to the point, perfect sequel, perfect film, and the greatest theater going experience I had ever had to the point where I wanted to have that experience over and over again.
I saw it
six times that summer.
That's how I felt about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Do you know what the second most, do you know what, are you ready for the second most film I've seen in theaters?
You say Wayne's World because I saw that a bunch of times.
That would be amazing. No, yeah, I mean, it's not anything that anyone could guess.
Okay.
So I'm just going to tell you. Scream 2.
Oh, well, you love that movie.
I adore that movie.
Yeah.
Like more than anybody else, more than the people who worked on that movie.
Yeah.
I love Scream 2. And I see it. So that is the thing I saw second most in theaters. But yeah, so I saw The Matrix twice. It's probably the last movie I saw twice in theaters. And it's like, I rewatched it recently because, you know, it's the 20th anniversary and Fox sure as hell wasn't going to tell me to see it multiple times, which is crazy. And I got to say, like, it holds up 100%. Like, it really does.
I'd say, like, some of the effects are, like, you can see the strings, so to speak.
Yes. Right.
But the movie itself is still amazing. It's
film, an incredible experience to this day.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah. There's nothing, like, from the beginning, it is perfectly structured. It is such a great ride, perfect introduction to the world, like, fantastic character work right away. Like, Keanu Reeves is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, he had always been there. Like, he had been an actor who was doing things. Like, he was always in movies. He was never off screen for very long. But this turned him into a huge star briefly.
It did.
And there's a reason why. He's amazing in this.
Well, the thing is, like, he was always very... I mean, with the exception of possibly of Bill and Ted, he's really stoic and quite wooden.
Yeah.
But he's found a way to make that work for him.
It is. Like, I think you're right to say that there is a way that is the perfect way to play this character.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. It's like the perfect way to play this character. And he's so good at finding roles where his, and this is going to sound like we're insulting him, flatness works 100%.
Affect.
His affectlessness?
No, it's a flat affect.
A flat affect? I was going to say his lack of affect.
Or you could just call it his affect.
Yes, his particular affect. There you go. Where his particular affect, he's managed to find these parts where it works perfectly.
Yes.
Like, and this is perhaps the zenith of that. And it's like the ultimate example of a movie where his being a naif, learning about this world is so exactly the story that needs to be told within the movie. So his being a wide-eyed guy learning about how the world really works is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he's amazing in the movie. I see what you mean when you say that the effects, like you can see the strings now, but...
Well, just in a couple of them, like when Trinity... At the beginning of the movie where she, like, dives through the window.
Yeah.
Right at the start. It's like, okay, you can see that, like, the CGI is really kind of...
Obvious.
Obvious in that moment. But the bullet time still looks amazing. The 3D camera is... Not 3D. 360 camera is still awesome. Like...
Well, and what gets me right is that whether or not the... Like, because especially if you go into Matrix Revolutions... Wait, what was the second one? Reloaded. Like, there are so many places where you see the CG face replacement and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks a little iffy today, but it's always in service of incredible fight choreography to the point where it doesn't bother me at all that the effects aren't very good because the staging is so fantastic that it doesn't bother me at all that the way they're pulling it off is a little iffy at times.
No, but in the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, in this one, you don't have that problem.
No, you don't have the same kind of problem. I'm talking about the franchise as a whole. You're right. There's only a couple, whereas here, cause you're right. Here, all of the fight scenes are much more like they're not doing those big CGI fight scenes. The fight scenes are largely practical effects and choreography, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's all beautiful.
It looks incredible.
I mean, they had a
fight choreographer, and I think they probably had a special second unit director for the fight.
Just for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Just for those fights. Well, I mean, God, that moment where, like, as all of the bullet time stuff is really good, but when they come up in the helicopter outside of where Lawrence Fishburne is being held, mm-hmm. and shoot up the room, and he runs for the window, and it's all in this ultra
slow-mo. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's so beautiful. Like, from the minute they walk into the lobby of that building,
mm-hmm.
to the minute the fight with Smith ends, how long is that? Because it's just one fight scene. Not one fight scene. It's one action scene that just goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And how fantastic is that fight scene? Every moment of it is just so gorgeous, so beautifully produced, so incredible to watch, and it just gets better and better. It escalates and escalates and escalates until you're having this super-powered fist fight in a subway station.
Yeah.
And it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Like, this, it completely redefined what an action movie could be. And to think that it's like, oh yeah, these are the guys who made the movie Bound. You know? They went from Bound to this.
I thought you were going to go with Speed Racer.
Well, no, Speed Racer came after.
That came after, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Speed Racer is an amazing movie. By the way, everybody watch Speed Racer. I was hesitant about Speed Racer, and you can go back and listen to our episode where we talked about it. I was hesitant about
Speed Racer. I haven't seen Speed Racer. I don't know who you think.
We talked about it on the show.
We did not.
Anyway, I just talked about it after I saw it. But I talked about it on the show after I saw it, and I was hesitant, and I didn't 100% get it. And as I've gone back and watched it a bunch more times over the years, I'm like, that might be their best movie.
And yet you still haven't seen Redline.
We did cover Redline on the show.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%, because I remember we had a conversation about the hilarious scene where the woman is complaining about being objectified on the news broadcast while being objectified by the movie. In like this bizarre sexist meta moment in the movie. I will always remember that from Redline. It's like sexism, but it's also meta sexism. So it's fine, I guess? Oh, but yeah, like, these are the guys, they would go on to make Speed Racer, which is incredible. They would go on to make, when they became the Wachowski siblings, they would make, Cloud Atlas, which is just such a mess. And then as the Wachowski sisters, they would go on to make, Jupiter Rising.
Which I loved, and nobody else
Which is
did.
Amazing. Which is so much fun.
And nobody likes that movie, which is sad.
I don't get why they didn't like that, why people didn't like that movie. We didn't get it at the time, we don't get it now, but I mean, we love Jupiter Rising. Right.
And then they made Sense8, which I enjoyed up to a point, and then weirdly, I never thought this would happen, I got bored with all the sex.
Yeah, there is so much sex in that show. Well, but it's about, I mean, part of what the show is about is sex as human connection on its most base level, and since the whole show's about human connection, you gotta focus on the sex.
No, but the sex gets in the way of the story.
At a certain point, you're right, it did. Like, no, I'm saying, I understand why they started going down
that road. I know why it's there, but
saying... But you're right that it went too far down that road, yes. Is what you're saying, and yes. You're totally right, they did go too far down that road. It took them to some places the film didn't.
I just didn't even bother with the second season.
Yeah, like, and they've got the Christmas special to end it, and I haven't watched that. So
there you go. Anyway, back to the Matrix. It's amazing.
Well, it's worth mentioning all of these other projects of theirs, right? Because they had flop after flop after flop. But the Matrix is so strong that they got the money to make flop after flop after flop. Like, that's how incredible The Matrix is. That they're like, for the next 20 years, just make a series of financial disasters. We're fine with it. You made The Matrix. Like, who gets to do that?
But even still.
M. Night Shyamalan?
Well.
Basically them and M. Night Shyamalan?
So. But, so, The Matrix... it's kind of like, I don't want to call it a Jesus story, but.
Not really. I mean, it's not really a Jesus story. Well, I mean, there are Jesus elements.
Well, I think it's really apparent in the third movie, which I never saw. But
I still can't believe you haven't seen the third movie, but yeah.
I'm not going to bother. But his name is Thomas, for starters.
Thomas Anderson, yeah.
Thomas Anderson. So he doubts the reality of the world that he lives in.
Yeah.
And then has a hard time kind of getting a handle on the actual real world.
Yep. And he is guided by the Trinity.
And he's, yeah, right. He's got.
I'm not saying that stuff isn't in there.
It's all there. And then he is Lawrence Fishburne's personal savior.
I know. He's specifically. In a number of different ways. Yes, he's Lawrence Fishburne's personal savior.
He can bend the rules of reality.
That's true. I'm not saying the Jesus stuff isn't in there, right? Obviously it is. But, you know, but I think it's more than
that. It's got all of that stuff, and you can make of it what you want. But what I guess I'm most appreciative is that it stopped short of just being the sort of sophomore musings on the nature of reality and the perception of reality. So
yeah.
I really appreciate, because it would be really easy to take that extra step.
Yeah.
But
they don't.
They don't do that.
It does have The Architect.
Again,
the most navel gazing
movie, though.
But I thought you'd seen the second movie.
Yeah, but I'm only talking about
the Matrix. Oh, no, okay, you're just talking about the first one. Okay, you're just talking about The Matrix.
Because that's what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about the second movie.
I know, I was talking about the franchise as well, but you're absolutely right. We should limit ourselves to just The Matrix.
Because the others aren't good. Anything that might be the reason why people don't reflect as fondly on The Matrix, or don't reflect fondly on The Matrix at all, as they should, because this movie's fucking 20 years old. They developed a brand new technology to make it.
Yeah.
And nobody...
It's incredible. Like, it is still incredible. And that's the thing.
And it's not really remembered for that anymore, 20 years later.
It has been overshadowed by the two terrible sequels.
Yeah.
I think you're totally right about that. And that's very sad, because they're pretty bad. Like, they really are very bad. Well, although I gotta say, one of my favorite things ever is, I don't know if you've ever played the Neo video game. Of course you haven't played the Neo video game. Why would I even start that sentence? Obviously you haven't played the Neo video game. But one of my favorite things about it is how good natured the Wachowskis are about it. Mm-hmm. About the people's reaction to the movie. They're like, we get that you didn't like the Jesus self-sacrifice stuff at the end of Matrix Revolutions, so here's a boss fight. Because it tells the whole story of the film franchise, but in the end, instead of him sacrificing himself, there's a boss fight. I'm like, I'm so proud of you too for having the sense of humor about your own work to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine so few people having the sense of humor to be able to say, we get it. We know how you feel about the movie. Just for fun. It's just a video game. Here, have exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
I love that about them, and I love that they did that. So here's my question to you. Do you think someone is going to try to remake The Matrix at some point? Or is it so of its time and so just about the tech in some ways that you don't think anybody's going to try?
I don't think anyone's going to try. Not because it's of its time or about the technology.
Okay.
Because that hasn't stopped other people from remaking movies. I think because it just, I don't know if it's going to capture the audience.
Zeitgeist?
There's the zeitgeist. Yeah, or even just the audience. Just, you know, it's about butts and seats. The same it did 20 years ago.
Sad thing to think that we live in an age where...
But it shouldn't be remade. A remake wouldn't do... Like, there's no point.
No, you're right. I mean, it wouldn't be to the people of today what it was to the people of that time. It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? It wouldn't serve the same role and serve the same, like, cultural value. But it's like, every time, there's all these corporations, and they look at all they do is, there is no depth to it, there is no thought to it. They look, what properties do we own the rights to? Okay? Well, let's do that. And that is all the thought that goes into it. And my question is The Matrix going to get that specific treatment? The, what do we owe the rights to? Okay, let's remake that. That treatment.
Even then, I don't know, because there's so much other stuff out there that might be less costly to remake. Because a remake of The Matrix, like, they would have to...
You're
going to
be expecting the biggest budget.
Exactly. Most,
you would have to, like, do entirely new things visually to be worth remaking The Matrix.
Yeah.
And is it worth the expense?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I hope they don't. I'm still not sure it's not going to happen, but I do hope they don't.
If they do, this is my my advice, I guess, to whoever's going to remake The Matrix.
Which is definitely what they want to hear. They definitely want to hear from you about this.
Get the people who made Dread.
Yes.
Film it in 3D and use that DOP because that guy's a fucking genius.
No, the man is brilliant. Yeah. You're totally right. So I'm going to, what do you call it? They have made text what was subtext in The Matrix, with Sense8. All of the stuff about sexuality and identity that was subtext in The Matrix is now text in their work. And so people went back and they looked at The Matrix and they looked for that stuff. And I'm just going to tell my favorite story about that, which is the thing that they were told not to do in The Matrix, the thing they had to cut, was that the character Switch is called Switch. Because in the real world, Switch was male, and when Switch went in, but in The Matrix, Switch was female.
Oh, I wish they hadn't changed that.
Yeah, and they cut it. They were told to cut
it.
Oh,
that's too bad.
And it's like, because it blows your mind, the idea of this character Switch, who lived all of her life as a female inside The Matrix, and was pulled out.
And is a man.
And is a man.
Oh. Oh, that would have been so interesting.
Imagine what people would have had to say about the movie if they had left that in there.
Well, that's one for the remake.
It's one. You're right. That is one thing they could have done in the remake.
And maybe don't kill him or her off quite as quickly as happens in the movie, because a lot of people die really fast.
Yeah. Joe Pantoliano just kills everybody right away. You lose your entire cast in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it's a good moment though, because they know they're going to die and there's nothing they can do about it. So it's like, Jesus, it's really upsetting.
So it's a chilling movie.
Yeah.
Like it really is. Like it's so good. The horror stuff works. The action stuff works. The drama stuff works. And of course the Kung Fu is beautiful.
Oh,
and
God.
if we hadn't had The Matrix, we wouldn't have had Man of Tai Chi. And we sure as hell wouldn't have had John Wick. So, you know what? If it's only for those two things, we needed The Matrix.
Damn right.
I love you, John Wick. All right. So, I think that's going to be our thoughts on The Matrix. We'll wrap up here. But yeah, it really is that beautiful. Like, it's that beautiful and it's that worth it. Like,
yeah. Do yourselves a favor.
If you somehow haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You have to.
Honestly.
And if you have seen it, do yourself a favor and go back and watch The Matrix again.
Yeah.
Like it's the anniversary and it deserves, like if it's your second look, if it's your 100th look, I honestly believe the movie deserves it.
It deserves a moment of reflection, 100%.
All right. So that is that. Do you have any narcissism to watch?
I have new apps of C&D and TNC coming your way. We're recording a new episode of Chicks and Dicks tomorrow.
Nice.
So that's exciting.
Very exciting, I would say.
I guess. That's like meaningless to whoever's listening though, so.
Still. For me, constant flow of new content over at the Hidden Object Guru YouTube channel. If you want to hear my extended thoughts about Barry, check out, what Gun Wrangler and I did, which was played some Sniper Elite 3 while talking at length about Barry, the episode, and where we think the season's gonna go. So we each make some predictions that will either, like, vindicate or humiliate us later on. So I think that should be a lot of fun. But yeah, Barry really is that good. And of course, for all your Criminal Minds needs, Vargelon.com.
Yeah, you can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can listen to old episodes there if you're listening not on the blog, I guess. You can leave us a comment on the blog. Also, if you like, tell us about how much you love The Matrix. You could send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
And I encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.